Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you request the brothers who are staying, inshallah, to kindly come closer? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana, innaka anta al-alimul hakim. Allahumma wafiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarda min al-qawli wal-fi'l, wal-amni wal-niyati wal-huda, innaka ala kulli shayin qadir. Allahumma alhimna marashida umurina wa'idhna min shururi anfusina amma ba'an. Alhamdulillah, continuing with the weekly series on the lives of the noble companions, Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. It's an honor for us to sit and to discuss their lives. Allah ta'ala speaks about the Sahaba in over 100 verses in the Quran. You count the number of verses which have mention of the Sahaba in the Quran. Over 100 verses. We just heard in the second rak'ah now, the last verse of Surah Al-Fath. Allah Ta'ala mentions Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. But Allah doesn't stop there. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَى آخِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala then goes on to speak about those who were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani his noble companions, and he describes them in a lot of detail. Khair, from amongst the companions was Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who is the topic of our discussion today. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the sense that his father, Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, was the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was also related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another way, and that is his khala, his maternal aunt, was Maymuna radiallahu anha, who was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in both ways, he's related from his father's side. His father is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then from the other side, his mother's sister is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So his father's Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib. His mother's name was Umm Fadl. That was her kunya, her title. Her real name was Lubabatul Kubra radiallahu anha. His grandmother, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anha's grandmother, is a very interesting woman. You can say she was the most honorable mother-in-law in history. Her name was Hind bint Auf. This woman, Hind bint Auf, had 6 daughters, and each one of them was very unique. The oldest daughter was Lubabatul Kubra, Umm Fadl, who was the mother of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Then her second daughter was Maymuna radiallahu anha, who was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then her third daughter was Zainab bint Khuzaymah radiallahu anha, who was also one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then her fourth daughter was Lubabatu Sughra, known as Lubabatu Sughra, and she was the mother of Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu. Then her fifth daughter was Asma bint Umays radiallahu anha. Asma bint Umays radiallahu anha was the wife of Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And later on, she got married to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then after that, she got married to Ali radiallahu anhu. So she is the only woman, Asma bint Umays, in the annals of history, who married 2 khalifas. She married Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and she married Ali radiallahu anhu. And then the last daughter, the sixth daughter, was Salama bint Umays radiallahu anha, who was the mother of Hamza radiallahu anhu. So this woman is very, very honorable, you know, mother, grandmother, mother-in-law, Hind bint Auf. Though she passed away before Islam, but yet her children, her grandchildren, were very notable, very great individuals. Khair, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was born in the Shi'b of Abi Talib. There was a period in Mecca when for 3 years the Muslims were sent into boycott. And the Quraysh, they didn't want to have anything to do with them. They cut ties with them. They didn't want to trade with them. They didn't want to marry with them, nothing. And they had sent them off to this area where they were all alone. Food, resources, everything was very scarce. And it was one of the most trying, one of the most difficult times in the lives of the companions. Now, in that period is when Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was born. One of the greatest gifts that this ummah was given, which shows you, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. within. Now, many times we translate this as after every difficulty you get two forms of ease. But the actual word which is used is ma'a. Ma'a means with. So fa'inna ma'a al-usri, with every difficulty you have multiple forms of ease. Meaning as you are going through a trial, at the same time there are countless bounties of Allah that you also enjoy. A person, for example, lost his job, but he still has his health, he still has his family, he still has a roof over his head, he still has food to eat. A person is sick, but he still has so many other benefits, so many other ni'mas, so many other bounties of Allah Ta'ala that he's enjoying. So even when we are going through a difficulty, there are still countless bounties of Allah Ta'ala that we enjoy. And if only we can count those bounties, if only we can start counting our blessings, very soon we realize we have nothing to complain about. We have so much to be grateful to Allah Ta'ala for. So in this trying time, this difficult time, this great giant Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was born. Which also tells you that he was very young during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Abdullah ibn Abbas was only 13 years of age. Because he was born 3 years before Hijrah and then the 10 years in Medina Munawwara. So he was only 13 years of age. But yet, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept him very close. And he saw that he had a lot of potential. Hence, he invested a lot of time in him. He didn't think of him as, you know, chota bacha, this is some little kid, whatever. No, he would take him, he would teach him, he would play with him. There's one incident in Tirmidhi. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, كُنْتُ خَلْفَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَالَ لِي يَا غُلَامِ إِنِّي يُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتٍ. So one day I was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the same conveyance. Last week we spoke about Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. We mentioned there that he also had that privilege of riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the same conveyance. There's a number of companions like this who had this specific honor of riding on the same conveyance as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu was one of them. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was another one. He says one day, even though he was young, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept him on his conveyance. And then he turned to him as they're riding. He said, oh my dear boy, inni u'allimuka kalimat. I want to teach you some words of wisdom. احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ وَإِنْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفُ. Beautiful advices the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to him. He said, oh my dear son, احفظ الله, guard the commandments of Allah, and Allah Ta'ala will guard you, Allah will protect you. This has various interpretations to it. One meaning which is given, you guard the commandments of Allah in this world, Allah will protect you in the hereafter from the fire of Jahannam. Another meaning which is given is, if you will guard the commandments of Allah, Allah will protect your progeny. In Surah Kahf, we read yesterday, those boys in the story of Musa and Khidr alayhi salam, they were those two orphans. And Khidr alayhi salam, he helped them in building the wall that had collapsed, under which there was a treasure which their father had left for them. But the reason why he helped him is, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. It's because their father was a righteous individual. Ibn Kathir says it wasn't their direct father. Rather, it was their great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. 7 generations up, a great-great-great-grandfather, he was a righteous individual. Because of his piety, 7 generations later, Allah is protecting the children. Allah sends these 2 prophets to come and help the children. So, احفظ الله يحفظ. You guard the commandments of Allah, Allah will protect your progeny. Another meaning which is given is that if you guard the commandments of Allah, في صغرك, in your youth, Allah will protect you, Allah will preserve you in your old age. Ibn Rajab Hanbali, rahimahullah, makes mention of a beautiful incident in this regard. He says there was a sheikh by the name of Abu Tahir who had reached very old age. He was over the age of 100. But yet, everything was sound mentally. He was functioning properly. All his limbs, everything was in order. So somebody asked him, he said, what's the secret? How are you so young and so healthy yet you're over the age of 100? So he said, هذه الأعضاء لم نعصي الله تعالى بها في صغرنا فحفظه الله تعالى علينا في كبرنا. Said we never used these limbs of ours to disobey Allah whilst we were young. Today in our old age, Allah has protected, Allah has preserved them for us. So احفظ الله يحفظ احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. If you adopt the taqwa of Allah, you are conscious of Allah, then you will find Allah before you. Meaning Allah's nusra, Allah's help, Allah's ma'iyya will be with you wherever you are. إذا سألت فاسأل الله. Whenever you ask, then ask from Allah Ta'ala. وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. Whenever you are seeking help, then seek help from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The creation is limited in what they can do. Allah's powers, Allah's treasures are unlimited. So ask from Allah Ta'ala. Then وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. O Ibn Abbas, if the entire world is to gather together to try and benefit you in some manner, but Allah hasn't written that benefit for you, then you will not be able to benefit you. And if the entire humanity is to gather together to try and harm you in some way, but Allah has not written that harm for you, then they will not be able to harm you. So the Prophet ﷺ gave him these advices. Each one of them, there's so much to expand on. But the main point that I want to highlight over here is that look at how the Prophet ﷺ took out time to speak to him about Allah, to speak to him about the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. This is something that we have to do at home as well, with our families, and especially with our children, that speak to them about Allah. Let's think about it. On a daily basis, I ask myself, you can ask yourself, how much time do we spend speaking about Allah? Speaking about the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, the powers of Allah, the sifat, the qualities of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When you speak about Allah Ta'ala, speak about the greatness of Allah, this is one of the ways of increasing, of strengthening our faith and strengthening our iman. This is a very, very powerful thing to do, is to speak about Allah Ta'ala. Everything that we see around us, في كل شيء آية تدل على أنه واحد, is supposed to be a reminder about the oneness, the wahdaniyah of Allah Ta'ala. خير, time moves on. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is growing up, and he had this privilege that his aunt is Maymuna radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So hence he enjoyed very free access into the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there was no issues with parda. When anyone else, if they're entering the house, now there's an issue because it's non-mahram over there. But for Ibn Abbas, it's his own khala, it's his own aunt, mother's sister, so no problem. So he used to come very frequently to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and sometimes he would even spend the night at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house to have a sleepover. So one night he says, "Bittu laylatan 'inda khalati." I was spending the night at the house of my khala, Maymuna radiyallahu anha. And he knew the habits and the practices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he was always there. So he knew that at night the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wake up for his tahajjud salah. So he thought to himself, let me do something nice. Let me do a favor for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he wakes up and he goes to the bathroom, then he's going to need water to make wudu. In those days, they didn't have sinks and taps like now. So if you wanted water, then you had to go and collect it from the well, from somewhere, and bring it in a bucket and keep it. So he said, rather than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam having to go and do all of that, let me go and take care of it for him. So he went and he got some water, and then he placed it just outside the restroom area so that when the Prophet ﷺ completed with his toileting, he would have the water there. So when he came out, when the Prophet ﷺ woke up, he went to the bathroom, he came out, he saw the water over there. He said, "Man wada ali hada?" Who placed this water over here? So his wife Maymuna radiallahu anha, she said, "Abdullah ibn Abbas." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Allahumma allimhu al-kitab wa faqqihu fi al-deen." Oh Allah, you teach him the book, the Quran, وَفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. You give him a very deep understanding of the deen. There's two things over here that I want to point out. Number one, Hafidh ibn Hajar writes, why did he make this dua specifically? اللهم علمه الكتاب وفقه في الدين. Says the reason why is Ibn Abbas had three options that night. Option number one is he could have taken that water and taken it inside the restroom, inside the toilet, and place it there. But if he did that, that would have been an encroachment on the privacy of the Prophet ﷺ, that he's also going into the toilet. So he didn't do that. Second option, He could have done nothing. He could have just slept through the night. He didn't do that either. The third option was to go and to get the water and to put it in a munasab place, a place where he wouldn't be encroaching on the Prophet ﷺ's privacy, but at the same time it would be there and it would be convenient for him to make wudu. And he chose that third option, which was the most befitting at the time. So فَفِعْلُهُ يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ حِكْمَتِهِ فَلِذَٰلِكَ نَاسَبَ يَدْعُوَ لَهُ بِالتَّفَقُّهِ فِي الدِّينِ. His action showed that he was a very intelligent individual. He was a very intelligent, a very smart youngster. Hence the Prophet ﷺ specifically made this dua, اللَّهُمَّ عَلِّمْهُ الْكِتَابُ وَفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Then another point over here is, Abdullah ibn Abbas did not ask the Prophet ﷺ for this dua. Rather, he earned the dua. There's a big difference between asking for du'as, requesting du'as, and earning du'as. One is you go to your parents and you say, you know, I have this exam, I have this interview, can you please make du'a for me? That's good, that's great. But what's much more impactful is you earn that du'a. You help your mother in the kitchen, you take your father for, you know, you drive him, you serve him in some manner, whatever it is, you do some khidmah and you earn their du'as. Those du'as which are earned, they come from the heart, they are far more readily accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. So this du'a wasn't requested, this du'a was earned from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And definitely as we see, this is a du'a that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted. Then I want to speak about the ilmi journey of Abdullah ibn Abbas. This was his main, you can say his legacy that he left behind was the ilm, the knowledge that he left behind. But before we get there, one other thing. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he saw Jibreel alayhi salam twice. This is also from amongst his khususiyat, his specialties. On two occasions, he saw Jibreel alayhi salam. Once, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abbas radiallahu anhu, and Abdullah ibn Abbas, they were sitting together. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam kind of turned away, and he moved away from them. So Abbas radiallahu anhu got up, and his son also, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and they started walking away. And Abbas radiallahu anhu felt kind of hurt, like, why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just turn away from us? Did we do something wrong? So his son Abdullah ibn Abbas said, no, that's not what happened. Rather, Jibreel alayhi salam came. Or he said, somebody came and he was speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I saw somebody there conversing with him. He said, really? How come I didn't see anyone? So then he went back later to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked him, he said, my son is saying there was somebody who came and he was speaking to you? He said, oh, Abdullah ibn Abbas, you saw that individual? He said, yes, I saw him. He said, Dhaka Jibreel, that was Jibreel alayhi salam. Then on another occasion, Abbas radiallahu anhu, the father, he sent his son, Abdullah ibn Abbas, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had some haja, he had some need at the time. So Abdullah ibn Abbas comes, and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was conversing with somebody, he was busy, so he went back. So the father said, did you tell him what I told you? He said, no, there was somebody there who was conversing with him. So later on, when he narrated this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ذَاكَ جِبْرِيلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, that was Jibreel alayhi salam that you saw. And he said, لَنْ يَمُوتَ إِبْنُكْ حَتَّى يَذْهَبَ بَصَرُهُ وَيُؤْتَى عِلْمًا. Now that he saw the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, he's not going to pass away until his eyesight is taken away and he is given a lot of knowledge. These two things are going to happen. So the sight of the angel is very powerful. He said he's going to lose his eyesight, but Allah Ta'ala is also going to give him a huge amount of knowledge. And both of these things happened. He was given a lot of knowledge. As for his eyesight, towards the end of his life, he lost his eyesight. And there's a very interesting incident that occurred. When he lost his eyesight, some of the doctors, they came, and they said, we can perform a surgery, and we'll be able to restore your vision. The only thing is, لَكِنَّكَ تَمْكُثُ خَمْسَةَ أَيَّامٍ لَا تَسْتَطِيعُ أَن تُصَلِّيَ قَائِمًا. For 5 days, you will not be able to stand up and perform your salah. Not, you can't perform your salah, you just won't be able to perform standing. You'll have to perform sitting or lying down, just for 5 days. And your eyesight will be restored. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, لَا وَاللَّهِ وَلَا رَكْعَةً وَاحِدًا. You're asking me to give up 5 days of salah standing? He said, even if you were to ask me to give up one rak'ah, I will not accept the offer. I'd rather remain blind and continue to offer my salah standing. SubhanAllah. This was his commitment. This was his dedication to salah. Khair, so time moves on. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he's always there, he's learning, and he learns a lot from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was only in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for approximately 30 months. Because he only made hijrah, the family of Abbas, they only made hijrah, and they only came to Medina post-Fath Makkah. Fath Makkah took place in the 8th year, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away in the 11th year. So approximately 30 months. Though they had accepted Islam far before that. Abdullah ibn Abbas himself says that kunna min al-mustada'afin. We were from amongst the mustada'afin. The mustada'afin, Allah speaks about them in Surah An-Nisa, that when hijrah was mandatory and all the Muslims had to migrate to Medina Munawwara, there were certain individuals illa al-mustada'afin min ar-rijali wan-nisa'i wal-wildani la yastati'una hilatan wa la yahtaduna sabila. There were certain individuals who were being prevented and they were being held in Mecca. And they were too weak, they were incapable of actually making the journey. They wanted to make the journey, but they couldn't. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, I was from amongst those individuals. So he already accepted Islam many years prior, but he was only able to join up with the Prophet ﷺ in Al-Madinatul Munawwara after the Fath Makkah, the victory of Makkah in the 8th year. So he only had about 30 months, 2.5 years or so, with the Prophet ﷺ. After the passing of the Prophet ﷺ, now he's still very young, he's only 13, he decided to go to all the senior ulama of the Sahaba, the senior scholars, and to seek knowledge from them. There's an interesting narration in Hakim, when just after the passing of the Prophet ﷺ, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was speaking to one of his friends from amongst the Ansar, who was also a youngster. And he said to him, أَلَا هَلُمَّ فَلْنَذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَإِنَّهُمَ الْيَوْمْ كَثِيرٌ. He said, my friend, let's go to all the senior companions and let's go seek knowledge from them because there's so many of them today. They're going to move on. Before they pass away, let's go learn from them. So his friend laughed at him. He said, أَتَظُنُّ أَنَّ النَّاسَ يَحْتَاجُونَ إِلَيْكَ وَفِي النَّاسِ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَنْ فِيهِمْ. Oh, Ibn Abbas, you're so silly. You think people need you? You think anyone wants to come and learn from you? There's all of these seniors, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Zayd bin Thabit. There's all of these ulama of Sahaba who are still alive. You want to become a scholar? Like, who needs you? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu didn't listen to what this youngster had to say. He said, if you want to do that, you want to just waste your time, no problem. As far as I'm concerned, I'm dedicated to the cause, I'm going to go and seek knowledge. So he would go to the ulama, the scholars of the companions, senior companions, and he would seek knowledge from them. With a lot of adab, a lot of respect. And this was his trademark. Now you see, throughout his journey of seeking knowledge, one was the dedication, the hirs, the desire that he had. On top of that, he had a lot of adab, a lot of respect. And this is one of the things which took him very far in life. And likewise, it will take any student far in life. They say, ba-adab, ba-naseeb, be-adab, be-naseeb. The one who has good manners, he has a good fortune for him. And the one who has bad manners, then things are not going to go so well. Even though he may amass a lot of knowledge, Allah Ta'ala won't take the work of deen from him. Adab, adab, etiquettes, respect is so important in the life of every student and in the life of every individual. May Allah Ta'ala grant it to us. Anyway, so Abdullah ibn Abbas, from his husn al-adam, his good manners, he would never knock on the door of a scholar. He says himself, مَا دَقَّقْتُ عَلَىٰ بَابِ عَالِمٍ قَدْتُ. I never knocked on the door of any scholar. Rather, what he would do is he would go at midday. In Qaylula time, the Arabs, they would take their rest midday because it was too hot to do anything outside. So they were forced to come home, and what are you going to do at home? So they'd just take a nap at that time. So everyone would be at home at that time. So that's why he'd come at that qilula time, because he knew the person would be in the house. So he would come now in the burning heat, everyone else is inside, and then he would sit at the door of the scholar. And he would wait until the scholar would come out. When the scholar would come out, then he would ask him. So one day he's sitting at the door of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu. Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu is aqra'um li kitabillah. He was the greatest qadi of this ummah. Certified, given ijazah, given sanad by the Prophet ﷺ himself. So he comes to his house and he's sitting at the door, midday heat, it's burning hot. After a while, Ubay ibn Ka'b opens the door and he sees Abdullah ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sitting there. And he feels so embarrassed. He said, "Hala daqaqta ala al-bab? You're the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why are you sitting here in the heat and the dirt? You should have just knocked on my door. I would have come rushing to you." He said, "Al-alim fi qawmihi kan-nabi fi ummatihi. والله يقول في شأن نبيه ولو أنهم صبروا حتى تخرج إليهم لكان خيرا لهم." He said, "No, O my teacher, a scholar in his community is like a prophet in his nation, because he's the warith, he's the inheritor of the prophets, العلماء ورثة الأنبياء." And Allah says with regards to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "ولو أنهم صبروا, if only they wait for him حتى تخرج إليهم, until he comes out to them, لكان خيرا لهم, that would be better." And the Bedouins, when they came and they would shout, "إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ," they would call out to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya Muhammad, come out." Allah says, "Don't do that. The etiquette is you should wait until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to you." So he says, "I also have to have the same level of etiquette with my teacher, that I can't call you out to me. Rather, I have to come here, I have to wait on your time. When you are ready to teach me, that is when I will accept, that is when I will ask you whatever I have to ask you." Also from his Husnul Adam, one day Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, who was a great scholar from amongst the companions, كَانَ رَأْسَ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ فِي الْفِقْهِ وَالْقَضَىٰ, he was the mufti of Al-Madinatul Munawwara. He was also the qadi, the judge of Al-Madinatul Munawwara, a master in the field of qira'ah, in the field of fara'id, inheritance. أَعْلَمُهُمْ بِالْفَرَائِدِ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "He is the most knowledgeable of my ummah with regards to the rulings of inheritance." So this great mufti, Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, one day he hops onto his conveyance, his camel. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu comes by and he grabs hold of the reins of the camel and he starts walking with Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. So Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu feels embarrassed. He said, "Da'hu, leave it, why are you doing this? You're the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I feel embarrassed taking khidmah, taking service from you." He said, "Hakada umirna an naf'ala bi'ulama'ina." He said, "No, this is what we have been taught to do with our scholars. We have been taught to serve our scholars, to do their khidmah." Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu then beautifully says to him, "Arini yadak." He says, "Give me your hand." He takes the hand of Ibn Abbas and he kisses it. And then he says, "Hakada umirna an naf'ala bi ahli bayti Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He says, "This is what we have been commanded to do with the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That you've been commanded to show respect to the ulama, we've been commanded to show love and mercy to the family, to the Ahlul Bayt." Subhanallah. So anyways, time moves on. Abdullah ibn Abbas is going to all of these senior companions and he's learning. That's why you notice in the books of hadith, there's many incidents which took place before Abdullah ibn Abbas was born, yet Abdullah ibn Abbas is the narrator. The incident of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Abbas narrates the story. The incident of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, who came in the early days of Makkah, many years before Ibn Abbas is born, Abdullah ibn Abbas narrates it. The reason for this is, he would go to these senior companions and he would ask them their stories. He would ask them about the incidents that took place in the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was able to compile all of this. Hence, he is the one who is narrating all of these ahadith. In total, he narrates 2,680 ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 2,680 hadith. Khair, time moves on, and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu becomes a great scholar in his own capacity, to the extent that during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu had a close cabinet, a shura, and he would discuss matters with them. Any decision that needed to be made, he would make mashura, he would consult this is a selected group of individuals. And now these were all senior individuals from amongst the Sahaba. But Abdullah ibn Abbas would also be invited to these meetings. So Abdullah ibn Abbas says, كَانَ عُمَرْ يُدْخِلُنِي مَعَ أَشْيَاخِ بَدْرٍ فَكَأَنَّ بَعْضَهُمْ وَجَدَ فِي نَفْسِهِ. Umar radiallahu anhu used to invite me to these meetings and it'd be all these old uncles and then I'd be sitting there. So some of them objected. They said, لِمَا تَدْخُلُ هَذَا مَعَنَا وَلَنَا أَبْنَاءٌ مِثْلُهُ. Oh, Umar, why do you invite this youngster? He's a little boy. Our children are his age. He's so young. Why are you calling him to these meetings? So Umar radiallahu anhu kept quiet. Then later on one day, he called Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, I knew that Umar radiallahu anhu was calling me to show them, to teach them a lesson. So when the meeting started, Umar radiallahu anhu posed a question to everyone. He said, can you people tell me, what is the tafsir of إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ? What's the explanation of this? فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ أُمِرْنَا نَحْمَدَ اللَّهِ وَنَسْتَغْفِرَهُ إِذَا نَصَرَنَا وَفَتَحَ عَلَيْنَا. Some people said, oh, when the help of Allah, when the victory comes, then we are supposed to seek the forgiveness of Allah. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ. We're supposed to praise Allah. وَسَكَتَ بَعْضُهُمْ فَلَمْ يَقُولُوا شَيْئًا. Some of them were silent. They're scratching their heads. Yeah, what is the tafsir of إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ? They didn't know. Then Umar radiallahu anhu looks at Abdullah ibn Abbas, the young ibn Abbas. He said, أَكَهَكَذَا تَقُولُ? Oh, ibn Abbas, what do you have to say about this? He said, هُوَ أَجَلُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَعْلَمَهُ لَهُمْ. This surah is actually giving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a subtle indication that his time to leave this world has come close. Because إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, when the victory comes, well, that is the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now when victory, the help of Allah has come, then his mission is complete. Then after that, soon after that, obviously he's going to pass away. So he said there's a very subtle hint here that soon the Prophet ﷺ is going to pass away. Umar radiallahu anhu said, everyone, innahu min haythu alimtum. You see, this is why I've been including this youngster in these gatherings, because of how wise, how sharp, how knowledgeable he is. And then all of them accepted. I said, okay, Abdullah ibn Abbas can remain here. Khair, time moves on. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu becomes this giant. It's mentioned that his home turned into a jami'ah, into a university. But the only difference is, in a typical university, you have dozens of faculty members, you have different kulliyat, different takhassusat, different specialties, each one has its own teacher or multiple teachers. Like even here in the seminary, you have 20, 30, 40 teachers, each one is teaching different subjects. Somebody's teaching tafsir, that's his specialty. Somebody's teaching hadith, that's his specialty. Somebody's teaching aqidah, that's his specialty. Somebody's teaching fiqh, that's his specialty. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu's jami'ah, his university, was such that there was only one teacher, and that was himself. And he was teaching all of these subjects, because he was a master in all of these fields. So what he would do is, there would be so many students who would come, so he would make an announcement, مَنْ أَرَادَ أَن يَسْأَلَ عَنِ التَّفْسِيرِ فَلْيَدْخُلْ. Okay, anyone who has any questions with regards to tafsir, you can come into my home. And they would come and they would fill his house up. And then you would answer all the tafsiri questions. Then they would leave. Then you would go and you make an announcement, مَنْ أَرَادَ أَن يَسْأَلَ عَنِ الْحَدِيثِ فَلْيَدْخُلْ. Anyone wants to learn about hadith, come. They'd come and they'd fill up his house. He'd answer their questions, then they leave. مَنْ أَرَادَ أَن يَسْأَلَ عَنِ الْفِقْهِ فَلْيَدْخُلْ. Okay, whoever wants to ask about fiqh, jurisprudence, come, enter. They'd come, they'd ask their questions, and then they'd leave. Eventually, later on, he made a system where in every day of the week, he would teach a different subject. So one day he'd teach tafsir, one day hadith, one day fiqh, one day seerah, one day aqidah. So the students would know when to come for which subject. SubhanAllah. So he was a one-man madrasa. Time moves on. One day, Abdullah ibn Abbas is sitting, and he's giving a dars, giving a lecture, a lesson. And there's a large number of people that have gathered around. So that very same youngster, remember that Ansari youngster who told Ibn Abbas, why are you going and studying? Who needs you? That same youngster happened to pass by again. This is years later, maybe even decades later. And he sees his friend Abdullah ibn Abbas sitting there giving the lesson. And he sees the honor, that the respect Allah has given him. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Those who attach themselves to true ilm and nafi', true knowledge, Allah Ta'ala grants them a lot of respect. So he sees this, he says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ إِنَّ هَذَا الْفَتَى أَعْقَلُ مِنِّي. He says, oh, I regret my decision. This youngster was far more intelligent than me. Both of us had that opportunity to go and to study. I wasted my time. I thought, no, who needs me? Society doesn't need me. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he realized his value. He made use of his time, and look at the honor that Allah Ta'ala has given him. Till today, you open up any book of tafsir, the explanation of the Quran, on practically every page you will see قال ابن عباس. This is Ibn Abbas's explanation. This is Abdullah ibn Abbas's explanation. All over the books of tafsir are covered with the name of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This great, great giant. When he passed away, he was over the age of 70. He spent the last few years of his life in Ta'if. So after he passed away, as his janazah was going, as they were burying him, everyone heard this voice. This is the authentic narration. They heard this voice calling out, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya, fadukhuli fi ibadi wadukhuli jannati. Oh, that soul that was in obedient, nafsul mutma'inna, that soul which was obedient. Come out to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, radiyatan mardiyya. One is the soul is happy, it's happy to go and to meet Allah ta'ala. And Mardiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also happy to meet this individual. فَدُخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدُخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Enter with all of the pious servants, enter into paradise. So this voice was heard at the funeral, at the passing of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum. With him left a huge chunk of knowledge, irreplaceable chunk of knowledge. But his legacy was one of ilm, one of piety, of ibadah. Together with his ilm, he was also known for his ibadah, for his worship. كَانَ صَائِمَ النَّهَارِ قَائِمَ اللَّيْنِ. He would fast throughout the days and he would perform salah throughout the night. Even on journey, when they would be traveling, those who were with him, they would say, we would notice he would spend a large portion of the night praying before Allah Ta'ala. And these are the true students of knowledge who combine between the two. Academically, they excel, they gather, they learn, they study well, but at the same time, they also have that ruhaniya, that spirituality, that connection with Allah Ta'ala. Both of these things have to be merged in order for a person to have ilm al-nafi', in order for that knowledge to actually be beneficial. One last thing I'll mention about Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is this quality that he had of always wanting good for other people, always wanting the best for others. He says this beautiful statement of his, إِنِّي لَآتِي عَلَى الْآيَةِ فَلَوَدِدْتُ أَنَّ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا يَعْلَمُونَ مَا عَلَمُونَ. He says three things that I have within me. Number one, sometimes I'll be reading a verse of the Quran and I'd just be so blown away. Like, wow, this is so amazing, so deep. He said, I would wish that the entire humanity could just join me and everyone could appreciate the verse like how I'm appreciating it. This is what you call the ecstasy of ilm, of knowledge. The joy, the happiness that a person gets when he's in front of his kitabs, in front of his books, just studying. Was it Abdullah ibn Mubarak who used to say, لو يعلم الملوك وأبناء الملوك ما عندنا لجادلونا عليه بالسيوف. If only the kings and the children of the kings knew the joy that we get when we study knowledge of the deen, they would come and they would fight us with their swords to get some of it. Then the second thing he says, وإني لأسمع بالحاكم من حكام المسلمين يعدل في حكمه فأفرح به وما لي به من قضية. He says, sometimes I would hear that in some city, there would be a just judge who was appointed. There would be a judge who was good, who was favorable to the Muslims, who would be appointed, who was just. And I would just get so happy. And alhamdulillah, in some part of the Muslim world, there's this just ruler, this just leader who has been appointed. وَمَا لِي بِهِ مِنْ قَضِيَةٍ. But I wouldn't even have any qadad. It's not like he was going to be judging my case. Just because there was a just person appointed, that would bring happiness and joy to me. وَإِنِّي لَأَسْمَعُ بِالْغَيْثِ قَدْ أَصَابَ الْبَلَدَ مِنْ بِلَادِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَأَفْرَحُ بِهِ وَمَا لِي بِهِ مِنْ سَائِمَةٍ. And sometimes I would hear about rain falling in a particular part of the Muslim lands, and I would get so happy that, you know, some people somewhere are benefiting from this rain. Though I don't have any cattle, I don't have any crops, I don't have anything over there, but just that somebody is benefiting, that brings me happiness and joy. This is another beautiful quality that he had of taking joy, happiness at the achievements of others, at the bounties that others were given. Like they say, if we can rejoice upon the accomplishments of others, then every day will be an Eid in our life. If we can rejoice in the happiness of others, every day will be an Eid in our life. Every day somebody is being blessed with a child, somebody is getting married, somebody is graduating, some good is happening to someone. So if we can take happiness, their joy, their happiness can become our happiness. We genuinely feel happy for them. then every day will be a day of rejoicement, a day of celebration, a day of Eid for us. These are some beautiful points that we learn from the life of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, his commitment to salah, his etiquette with his seniors, the commitment to knowledge, taking joy and happiness upon the achievements of others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to inculcate these beautiful qualities in our lives as well. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Jazakumullahu khaira wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Unfortunately, there's no breakfast today. Inshallah, breakfast will continue next month once the students are back. We're missing them, all the khidmat that they do. Allah ta'ala reward them.